Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning, welcome to Racing Across America, live from Claret Court. Seth Merrow and Brian Otto, T-minus five, we're right around the corner.
Can't wait. Thursday opening day's been drawn. 10 race card. I think I saw they got 9 in the Schuylerville Stakes. Closing day at Belmont. Everybody will get up here tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, and it's go time, huh? We're a little closer than we normally have been in the year. It's happy. It's good to be back. And I'll tell you what. I know you've said you've been bopping around in town the past few weeks. I was out and about Friday night and then last night especially, and town is on tilt.
I went for a sunset cruise on the lake last night at the Adirondack Cruise Lines, and that was kind of fun. And then I took a swing downtown, and I got a report that people had seen you, but I didn't, because I wasn't going in any places with lines, and pretty much every place had a line. And I read in the newspaper, I think it was this past week, which I thought was a perfect description, the past two Saturday nights, and I've been down the last couple of weekends as well, and I've said on here, it's bananas, but they described it as, it's already like Travers
Night. Yeah, that's what we were joking last night, and it was it Alabama night, or was it Travers Night? The town was hopping last night, so had a birthday party for my friend Rob, so happy to be stretching his birthday thing out like 11 days, but... happy birthday one of these days to Rob. But we had a lot of fun. We were in town, and like I said, I just think everybody is just, you know, amped up to get at it, and racing especially.
Yeah. Opening day is going to be nuts. I'm excited to see that. They have some new additions.
That's what I was just going to say.
First turn, I think that's going to be a home run.
Yeah, on the drive in. So we weave our way around because we come in on the Union Avenue gate. And so we get firsthand, you can see that, what is it, the tailgate area there that they have kind of carved out by that 1863 one.
Now I can't remember what the name is.
There's a proper name for it. Okay, and it looks really cool. So. That's the new addition, and there's one at the top of the stretch right?
At the top of the stretch.
Yeah.
A couple of them, they've expanded the stretch area itself, that grandstand area down at the end that they upgraded. They expanded that. I think they'll all be real hits this year, but certainly it's just going to be a hit to have people back. And picnic tables in the backyard, pretty much all the rules are what you normally would get. Breakfast comes back. That'll be fun. Our friend Anthony Stabile is going to be the Mary Ryan of the 21st century. Anthony Stabile is going to be taking folks through the breakfast front.
He
can come and take the tram to the back stretch, so I think people will be excited about that.
The paddock bar is still there, too.
that's right, which I'm sure people are looking forward to that as well. We'll do a little proper Saratoga preview a little bit later, but I thought this morning, closing day at Belmont, we take a look at the Belmont card, take you through that. Maybe talk a little bit about the results yesterday. Well, in fact, why don't we just talk a little bit about yesterday's results and the Belmont card yesterday. Bolshoi Ballet won the Belmont Derby. I took a little bit of a shot against him, but as I was doing the live show and looking, I thought, you know what, he may just outclass this field. Both of the Aiden O'Brien runners did in the Derby and the Oaks. The Derby, the Oaks a little bit earlier, Santa Barbara, Ryan Moore was on both of them. And I said yesterday, 10 years ago, I would have leapt on the Euro runners. And then things kind of changed where it used to be a second stringer could come over here and get it done. And that kind of went away. And so I wasn't as enamored with them. But yesterday, the more I looked, the more I said, you know what, these are first stringers. And he sent them over and they got it done in the Oaks.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd be first stringers for most normal people. They're probably third stringers for him. But he's, you know, for Aiden O'Brien.
But Bolshoi Ballet was the favorite in the Epsom Derby, though. He was soundly beaten.
You know, neither was surprising. I think Bolshoi Ballet was, to me, I tried to beat him, too. I tried to beat him with the Japanese horse, who I saw it was 15-1 on the morning line. That shocked me. I think he ended up going off at 16-1. You know, he was an okay second. But... yeah, you know, he does a good job picking and choosing who to send. His record over here is abysmal, to be honest.
No.
Aiden O'Brien, I mean, with the exception of the Breeders' Cup, he never wins any of these races. But, you know, he sent the right two over. They were not, you know, no disrespect to our horses. I don't think these horses right now are all that much.
A division, you know, I like. Yeah, that's every year. Division, and I've said it for the past month or so, as these horses have come up and I've done the afternoon show, I don't think anybody's taken a hold of that three-year-old division.
No, you know, Annex has now come off the bridle a little bit, I think, in three starts in a row, and he was perceived. I think he won his first three for Bill Knott. And so, yeah, I think that is a division, you're right, Seth, that is there for the taking. It will be interesting to see if he ships back these horses or what, if he leaves them here.
It's a rich triple of a series.
The Saratoga Derby and then the Belmont race later on in their championship meet. I don't believe he's a guy that leaves horses here, so I would assume they'll go back home and maybe come back, because as you alluded to, it's a very lucrative series that they put money into.
Also worth mentioning the Victory Ride, Super Sensational, looked pretty good, and I just mentioned that because you would think that'll play into the test later.
Absolutely.
She looked really good. Mm-hmm. The head scratcher there was Australasia, who was coming in undefeated. It was
six
horrible.
For six, I think. Ooh. Right, yeah. And I, David Carroll had Super Sensational all winter down at Fairgrounds, and I talked to David a lot about her, and David said, I don't know how far she wants to go, but she ran okay in those races, and I think now that they've cut her back to one turn, and David always felt that she was a filly that would be one turn. David Carroll, Mark Cassidy's assistant, and a great guy, and does such a good job. She looks like a player now, because you're going to get that much more pace in the test going seven furlongs, and they've done a good job with her out, kind of.
The Delaware Handicap, it was Miss Marissa, and again, another favorite that did not look good, Bonnie South, running fifth in the field of six at 1-2, but Miss Marissa looked pretty good. Do you think possibility she'll come up to Saratoga?
Well, I mean, the personal ends and the spacing is right, you know, for Travers weekend. So that's what, 5-6 weeks, 6 weeks basically. So yeah, I would think that's a good spot for her. I know Latruska is aiming for that spot right now. So we'll see. Nobody wants to, you know, tangle with her, but that is the logical spot that you think they would go to.
I'll also mention the RG Dick, because that usually plays into some turf racing up here at Saratoga, so I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe Dalika head up. I liked her yesterday, and I know you got to see a lot of her at the Fairgrounds this winter, and she was just phenomenal yesterday. Had pressure. I mean, the fractions weren't, you know, out of this world, but she had pressure the whole way around, turned into the stretch, and you thought, oh, she may get swallowed up here, and no, she just kind of gunned it away from the field. Chart margin lines up to be a length, but it was a nice win in the RG Dick Memorial yesterday.
Yeah, she's a funky kind of horse. They've struggled with her. He was very adamant that, I don't know why she ran bad, and she's kind of a hit or miss kind of horse, but like you said, when she's right, she's pretty good.
Good yesterday. All right, let's jump in and take a look at a little Belmont for this afternoon. Oh, and before we do, I will just alert people, because this will be fun to watch this afternoon. Jose Ortiz, 57 wins. Irod Ortiz, 57 wins. Irod is serving out a suspension, wanted to get that out of the way before Saratoga, so he has no mounts today.
Nah.
So Jose Ortiz needs one to take the title away from his brother, as they are tied going into the Sunday card. So should be fun to look at that little side story today. The opener at Belmont on Sunday afternoon, $16,000 non-winners of two condition claimers going a mile. Your thoughts on the opener?
I like his chances, by the way.
Exactly.
To secure that victory. I'll give the one-sheet selections, because obviously we're still keeping on with that and updated online and Twitter and all that. 6-5 over the one for me. I think, you know, La Coya Road got to the dirt last time, or else they got back to the dirt last time, and was a really good third for Rob Atrus. Fast, you know, 72 buyer, if that's your jam. The thoroughgraphs were good as well, and I just think he's probably going to be a little too much. Profusion looks like the very logical partner to him. First time gelding, getting back onto the main track. Ran in the mud two back, one on the fast dirt, three back, so he looks really good. And then there's Jose Ortiz on spectator list. I don't know, stiff class drop for spectator list, but I don't really know where the form is. He's been beaten up pretty good five in a row since breaking his maiden at First Asking, so I'm a little against him on top. 6-5 over the one in the opener.
And I've said it before, I put spectator list down in the fourth spot because you just couldn't ignore it. But those are the kind that when you're handicapping, you
tough.
Just don't know what to do with, because they could, on the class drop, could win by a city block, or the class drop could be just saying, yeah, this horse has gone the wrong
Absolutely.
Way. They lose by a city block. So I won't leave it out, but I'm same with you on top. 6-5-3-1. I put La Coya Road on top as well. I thought off the last effort at this level, and it's a pretty similar race, ran decently, and a little bit of class relief and turf to dirt, first time gelding for Profusion and Ruby Rodriguez. That one logical as well as a player. So in the opener, I have it 6-5, 3-1.
I'm checking the weather here. Speaking of which, I wanted to say this on the way in. It almost had like a closing day feel on the way in. A little not nip, but it's a little, it's overcast, it's cloudy, a little coolness in the air. And you're kind of like, wait, what are we opening or closing day here? Weather looks good at Belmont. They only took one off the turf yesterday. So closing day should be good to go at Belmont. I would think fast and maybe good, but I would think they're on the turf. So that's good. And that plays into race two because it is on the turf, kicking off the early pick four. It's a two-year-old maiden special weight, the fillies, going 6 furlongs on the turf.
I have a 2, 3, 9, and 7 Champagne Cami on top by Spitester. That's a win early sire to me. Showed a little bit of oomph in the debut and wound up an okay third. But it was one of those races where I think that could provide a little educational foundation to move forward from. So again, a little bit of breeding, that little bit of education. Ray Handel has Union Dolly. They paid a decent amount of money for this one down at Ocala in March. Constitution on top. So clearly there's some win early breeding through the sire. A couple of the workouts at Keeneland looked okay. And then in the third spot, I went with another one that has some form. Pammy's Ready. It's not spectacular form by any means, but it was early in the year, it was April, at Keeneland for Wesley Ward, sprinting on the turf with a two-year-old. So horse took a little bit of action, an okay fourth. Jose Ortiz picks up the mount today. I won't be surprised to see some improvement off of that career debut for Wesley Ward. 2, 3, 9, and 7 for me.
And I believe Ruthen was one of the ones he sent over to Ascot, wasn't it, that won that race. I have it 7-9-2-4. Shanghai Shamrock I thought was really good at first asking for Mark Cassie at Churchill. They're only going 5 that day, so now she gets another furlong to work with. I would think that's only going to help her here. She closed from 6th that day to get 3rd. She was making up ground late, so I put her on top. Seth mentioned Pammy's Ready. You know, it was not a very good fourth for WW, who won all, you know, as we know, he wins all those races. So I'm a little leery of her at what's probably going to be an underlay price, too, with as you mentioned, Jose Ortiz getting aboard. I like the experience angle that Seth kind of mentioned with Champagne Cami. She ran fine at this trip on debut. You think she gets a little tighter and tougher here. And then Hot Fudge, they paid a big number for a Liam's Map as a two-year-old in training, so I always kind of think that puts them a little maybe ahead of the curve a little bit, because obviously they were amped up pretty good to run that day for the show. 7-9-2-4 for me in the early pick four.
Yeah, you say Pammy's Ready to underlay price, and I think David Aragona kind of reflects that 5-2 on the morning line.
Yeah,
isn't that all the connections?
Yeah.
I mean, if this is a different trainer and jockey off that fourth, this one floats up to maybe the fourth or the fifth choice.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Third race today, State Bred Maiden Specials going 7 furlongs.
I guess I'm on Mark Cassie today. 5-6 over to 7, pretty clever. In the mud last time, just missed off the long layoff, and you would think she's just going to be that much tighter today. She hadn't run since October. Maybe the mud moved her up. She dueled the entire way around. Lasix was added last time as well. There's not a lot in here, and she just looks like she's better than what to me seems a pretty average, modest bunch. Shamalama Ding Dong for Christophe Clement, first time in the barn, was with Linda Rice, ran okay twice as a two-year-old, hasn't been seen since May, and the trainer change now. Now, Christophe's solid with these. He's had his typical good Belmont meet. He's got a big ROI with Manny Franco. I would think she runs well, too. And then Towering Orbit, I don't think it's a bad thing to be a first-time starter in this race. The only problem with Towering Orbit is Charlie Baker 0-22 with firsters. Rosario's here. He rides a lot of, his horses that are live. I would think let's wait and we'll get Towering Orbit next time right up here at Saratoga when it's the go times. 5-6 over to 7 for me, Seth.
I went 2, 5, 6, and 1. I put Constitutional Raise on top by Constitution. Sources bred to win early. Certainly hasn't lived up to that yet. Dropped down for a tag last time, though, and showed an improved effort. That was on the turf. Now comes back off the claim and moves to the dirt. I just thought maybe the horse is kind of figuring out, getting better, moving in the right direction, a little bit of a price, a little breeding to hang your hat on. I'm going to go with Constitutional Rage. Pretty clever in the second spot for Mark Cassie off the improvement from the 2 to 3 year old seasonal layoff. Shamalama Ding Dong makes a lot of sense off the first couple of starts. moves into the barn of Christophe Clement, but the last number was certainly good enough to consider in with this group. Not this time, the sire of Out of Sight, another good win early type sire. This one, again, did not live up to that in the debut, but at a price with the education under the belt, yeah, I might throw that one into my exact and make some play around a little bit. And the third at Belmont, 2, 5, 6, and 1.
The Ford starts to pick 6, and they'll have to pay that out today. So I would think that pool will get pretty juicy. They got 600 in there yesterday on that 54,000 carryover day. So it's been very well received. Keep that in mind up here. I think it's going to be huge up here. I'm excited about that. This one's a starter allowance on the inner 3-year-olds and up, a mile and a 16th.
3, 1, 7, and 6 for me. I put Land Biscuit on top. I love the name. Comes out of an off-the-turf win to break the maiden last time, but the turf races are okay, so I don't think the move back to the grass is going to be any obstacle. It just seems like this horse has been, you know, knocking at the door and then broke through, and I think this move into the starter 50 level is going to be, it's kind of a salty move, but I think when you look at the rest of this field, I think this horse will be a pretty good fit. Second slot, number one, Rhythm Section, comes in off of some conditional claimers. And again, I think this is a salty move, but this particular bunch, I think the horse is going to fit okay for Mike Maker and Tyler Gaffleone. And Girl Dad for Rick Pitino, our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds, George Weaver training. Class-wise, I think this horse stacks up nicely coming in from those optional claimers. Comes in good form, 1-2 back, decent little third last time, so good form. Classes up nicely with this bunch. Jose Lescano on board for George Weaver. I'll put Girl Dad firmly in the mix. In the fourth at Belmont for me, 3, 1, 7, and 6.
I just reversed them. 1, 3, 7, 6 for me. And Seth talked about all of them. Rhythm Section, blinkers off for Maker. Here's Jose Ortiz, as you mentioned, trying for that title. Tactical speed, maybe the blinkers allow this one to settle a little bit more. Kind of ran off a little bit last time, so maybe taking the blinkers off will let this one settle a little bit more. Land Biscuit, for everything you said, back to the turf, that big number, 2 back. That probably wins this right there with that 81 if he can run back to it. The dirt win last time. Does face winners today. That could be a little tricky. And then Girl Dad, as you mentioned, he's been in really good form as well. 1-2 back. Good third last time. Would be no surprise there either. 1-3-7-6 for me in the fourth.
And before we take the break, we'll head to the fifth race. An allowance non-winners are one other than on the grass at 7 furlongs.
You know, Seth, I wanted some tactical speed in here because I think some of these are like a Tiberius Mercurius runs the risk of getting run off his feet a little bit, cutting back. I went 5-9-6. I know he comes out of stakes races. River Tiber just broke his maiden at Churchill, so he does step up and face winners. He's going to have to run better today, but I think he's more tactical than Tiberius Mercurius, and I like that. He's going to get first run on him. He should be a better price as well. So I put him on top. You get some class relief with Tiberius Mercurius, the 2 stakes races you see for Tom Albatron. He ran very well in both with big numbers. You know, didn't hit the board, but he ran well. Get Smokin' was really good, and when Get Smokin' it runs his race, he is very tough. So this drop will certainly help. But, you know, one turn kind of funky mile. Now we're cutting back to 7. I just wonder if it's a little sharp for him today. And then Big Package, another one of those runners, Seth, that doesn't have any early speed. He's going to need a meltdown. He got it last time, but they're not going 43-3 in here today. So I'm against these closers a little bit. I went with the tactical speed of River Tiber. 5-9 over the 6. Late pick 5 time, by the way.
I went with Big Package, but I thought about all the things you I just thought third start back and the race prior, he ran a good third with slower early fractions. But, boy, you know, off of those early fractions last time, he was still flying late. I mean, they went 107 in that last run. Dave Donk seems to be going well over the last couple of weeks coming into the end of Belmont and into Saratoga. So I put that one on top. Just, again, off of the race 2 back, which I think set him up nicely for the race last time, and now this is third start back. See if you can put another improved effort on top. Tiberius Mercurius in the second slot. Coming out of some stakes company, Luis Saez on board again. He's logical. And Voodoo Zip I think, has some early pace to be in the hunt early, and certainly earlier than last time. That looked like a little bit of an aberration to me last time. I think he'll be a player throughout in here and can be heard from, particularly sprinting on the grass with Joel Rosario in the saddle. In the fifth at Belmont, 6-9, 7-5. That'll take us to a break. We'll come back. We'll look at the remainder of the Belmont closing day card, and then a little bit of a Saratoga preview. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to the Handicappers Report. Closing day at Belmont, but as you can probably see, we are front and center here at Saratoga, getting the kinks out a little bit as we wind up for opening day Thursday. The card's been drawn, 10 of them on tap for Thursday, and not to speak for my partner, but I know we're pretty darn excited to be back up here. It's pretty, all things considered, some semblance of normalcy is back, so really looking forward to that. Hopefully we'll see everybody up here. I know a lot of people are going to be clamoring to be here on opening day when they couldn't last year. So we're excited about that, but we've got 9 at Belmont. We rattled through 5. 4 left here, late pick 4, and all these pools got to go, obviously, on closing day. So that late pick 5, that pick 6 that I mentioned, they all got to go. And this is a good one. It is not a stakes race. It might as well be. It's an optional claimer, 3 and up, 6.5 on the main track. And like I said, Seth, this is a dandy of a race.
Absolutely. I'm going to be interested to see how close we are, how far we are, because at the top of the page, sometimes I'll write evenly matched. I wrote really evenly matched here. I think it is a pretty competitive bunch. I have 5-2, 1-7. I put Basin on top. Moved into the Todd Pletcher barn and subsequently put in a stakes win down at Gulfstream. And the last couple have not been particularly good, but I think it's going to match up okay with this bunch. Going to have to remember some prior races because, again, the last two will not be good enough to get it done here. But I'm just going to look for a little rebound. Cuts back to the 6.5 today. I think the rebound potential is possible. Horse has been working up here at Saratoga, so I just, you know, trust Todd Pletcher. I looked in the condition book and thought, yeah, we'll take a shot down there and be making the right move. Basin on top. Wicked Trick in the second spot. The last few numbers are pretty good in stakes company. So, again, moving into a condition that you go down the page a little bit, the horse has done very well at. And then Jalen Journey in the mix off a nice win in a kind of a similar race last time, maybe a little bit lesser, but I'm thinking probably, as I say, pretty similar for Steve Asmussen down at Belmont. Nice win, good number, a repeat of that, puts that one right in the conversation. But I could point to another two or three others that I would have equal confidence in the sixth for me, 5-2, 1-7.
So Jalen Journey is my play of the day. He was my play of the day last time on the one sheet. I printed early, but he's 5-2 on the morning line, right?
Yeah.
He can't be 5-2 in here. I mean, to me, he's like 4-1. And David Aragona does a great job, but I can't see him being 5-2 in here when you've got Endorsed on the outside, you've got Basin, Montauk Traffic just ran super fast. I mean, this is a good race. Wicked Trick and all these stakes races he's coming out of. So it's 1752, the play of the day. He was the play of the day last time. I thought he was loose controlling speed. He had to gut it out really tough. He cuts back a half furlong. He's going to be in front in here. There's some solid horses. But the one thing of all these good horses, Seth, that are dropping in class and all that, where's their form? You know, they're dropping because they've been in terrible form of late. Look at Basin. You talked about it. It's not going to cut it, his last two. Now Todd puts the blinkers on, you know, throwing something at the wall. Maybe it's going to stick. And Dorse was just, you know, bombed in the grade one at Churchill. And that was not a great race. I mean, it was a solid race. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, Flagstaff isn't any world beater. And Endorse didn't fire at all. You look at Wicked Trick. He hasn't been really, you know, close in these graded races of late. If nothing else, Jalen Journey comes in the right way. I think he's controlling speed in here. There's not a lot of it. Maybe from the outside, Endorse goes a little bit. Jalen Journey's going to be in front. He got brave last time. He can do it again here. Play of the day. Excuse me. Endorse will be close throughout. The drop's got to help him. But again, man, he didn't run an inch last time. You know, he was 8-1 that day. It wasn't like he was 27-1 at Churchill. So put him in second. Basin in third. As you know, I don't know what you're getting from Basin today. And Wicked Trick as well underneath. But again, the play of the day, Jalen Journey, 1-7 over the 5-2. Late pick four time.
Yeah, as I said, really evenly matched. But then to piggyback on what you said, really evenly matched because they're all head scratches.
Right, right.
Okay, roll of the dice a little bit. In the seventh race at Belmont today, allowance non-winners are one other than 3/4 of a mile is the trip.
Yeah, Bella Sophia scratched out from the rail of the victory ride yesterday, and she gets a much better post, and more importantly, she gets a much easier field. You know, that was a good, legitimate grade three race in there where, you know, you mentioned Australasia was 6-6 going in there. You know, Bella Sophia gets all of the best of it here. She's going to be, what's he got her on the morning line?
Even.
Yeah, she's going to probably be 3-5 or so. She looks really tough for Rudy. Here's Jose. If he doesn't have one yet, he'll get one here to put one ahead of his brother. So Bella Sophia, probably the most likely winner on the card. Fierce Ladies, she's become very tactical in her kind of second career. I've done a good job with her, getting her to settle a little bit early. So I've got her underneath. And then number 7, Primacy for Chad, another one that can come from off the pace. And I think that's beneficial in here because I could see Bella Sophia frying everybody. And so you want to make a run late to complete that exacta. 4/3-7 for me in the seventh.
Yeah, I put Bella Sophia on top too. After the scratch yesterday, she became even more potent. I thought 4/1-7/3 for me. I thought Harper's in charge with the career debut win last year. Now she has the potential to come back with a little added 2-year-old to 3-year-old maturity. That number is going to have to improve, but I think that's possible. I think that's very possible. That's the Lasix this afternoon. So I put her in the second spot and then Primacy down in the third spot. The beginning of the career showed some nice promise and progress, and then kind of the last couple starts went the wrong direction. One of those was at the end of her season last year at Saratoga, and then the other one was the comeback in April at Churchill. But I thought the comeback in April at Churchill was kind of a good race to build off of, and given what we saw with the progression last year, I'll look for a little move forward this afternoon as well. Seventh at Belmont, 4/1-7/3.
The last double of the Belmont spring summer meet, the River Memories, race 8, fillies and mares 4 and up, 1.5 miles on the Widener. I'm going to be interested to see where you go and your thoughts on this, because this is the race where Civil Union got going last year, and she's trying to use it again to try to get going again because she hasn't really done much running this year. How'd you see it?
Yeah, I couldn't. I put her at the bottom of the mix, and I used Virginia Joy, the morning line favorite, 9-5. Yeah, 5-2-7-6. I thought Call Me Love was interesting as well for Christophe Clement coming off the win last time. At 6-1, I could make the case there. But I just thought the Chad Peter Brandt runner looked pretty good in the first start in the United States, then stepped up into stakes company and ran fourth. But I thought it was an okay fourth. The number went forward nicely. So it just seems kind of logical in this field, which I think she's going to fit pretty nicely with. Muta Makina in the second spot, the number 2 horse. tossed in a little bit of a clunk last time. It was the same race that Virginia Joy comes out of. Virginia Joy ran fourth. This one ran sixth. But the three races just before that on the move to the United States were all pretty promising. If we bounce back, essentially I'm looking for the same situation for both of my top two. I'm going to kind of draw a line through that New York last time and look for rebounds. Although Virginia Joy, as I say, improved number-wise, we'll look for rebounds to better finishing position efforts. And then in the third spot, Delta's Kingdom for Bill Mott. The race two back was certainly good enough, like the top two picks. The last race wasn't so much. That was down at Churchill in the Quintana. But I think overall this horse probably is expected to run a little bit better than we saw last time, which puts her in the mix as well. For me, 5, 2, 7, and 6.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Virginia Joy looks like the now horse. She's on the comfort for Chad, and she's just going this way. And as Seth kind of alluded to, the rest of these are performs a little tricky. Makina threw a dud in the New York. I thought Virginia Joy ran very, very well. I mean, Mean Mary's won the 50 in this race, and she's so good. For Grand Motion and Thundering Knights came back to win. So, yeah, I think Virginia Joy, it looks, is going to be really, really tough in here. Now, Muta Makina, Seth is right. She didn't do a lot of running last time, but then you look at the lines, 4, 5, 6 wide the entire way. So she's going to get a much better trip. She's not going to lose as much ground today. Maybe that can help her bridge the gap to Virginia Joy, but I do think she's second best. I put Civil Union in third, but, you know, Seth's probably the right one here at putting her in fourth because, you know, sometimes these gals, they just don't come back, you know, as good as they were. And that seems to be the case with Civil Union. I mean, she was going to be a champion if she won the Breeders' Cup, and she ran very well to be a close fifth that day. And her two races this year, yeah, the Bogey was way too short for her. But she got her trip last time in the New York, and she didn't fire at all. Maybe it was a yielding ground, I guess, if you're really looking for excuses. But I got to see more than before I take an underlay price on her. So I put her in third, 5 over the 2.6 in the River Memories.
We will wrap up the Belmont meet. They'll pack things up and head up the turnpike and start unpacking and be ready for Thursday. But they'll start the packing job after this one goes off a little before 5 o'clock. This evening, race number 9, state-bred maiden claimers on the grass at 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because take note, it's a 12:30 post today.
Point. Yeah,
it's not
point.
The 105 yeah. opener today. Okay, so they move it up a little bit to, as you said, to get out of Dodge. So take note of that. It's a 12:30 kickoff today at Belmont. 8-4 over the 3 to me. I like Joe Sharp and the job he does, and he gets this one. Looking to fly from Michelle Nevin. It's an upgrade to me. Now, this horse hasn't been out since December. That could be a little problematic. But there's a couple things at play here. I like, first of all, that he reaches for Luis Saez. But, Seth, I mean, I got to believe that they're going to run this race 3 times a week at Saratoga. In the fact that he says, no, let's run. We are ready to roll closing day at Belmont. To me, I think you read a little bit between the lines when you do this job as well, and you try to see if these guys are playing some poker, these guys and gals, and the fact that she's running today when they probably are going to run this race next week up here, to me it's significant. I like looking to fly. The work's kind of whisper ready. There's plenty of them. I saw Joe firsthand do his craft at Fairgrounds this winter. I was pretty impressed with the job he did, so I put her on top. Tis a pity, conversely now, okay, she runs a pretty decent fourth against open company maidens at Gulfstream 2.5 years ago. Hasn't been seen since, and now she's back in for 40. You know, that's not a good thing. I mean, that was open company at Gulfstream. You'd think, wouldn't they try her in a state-bred maiden special weight? No, here she is for 40. Tread very lightly with her, as good as Christoph is. He doesn't ride Javier Castellano ever either. I mean, none of his main guys are here. Joel, Manny Franco, a little worrisome to me at what's going to be an underlaid price. And then Dorothy's the boss, I think, is, you know, the special weight drop helps. Now trying turf for John Kimmel. I'd like to see how she runs over it before I get involved there. 8-4 over the 3 in the finale.
I went 4, 8, 6, and 7, and I had exactly the same concerns you had. And I'm not sure Could he have run for a waiver? I'm not sure in the state bred.
That's what I was wondering
ranks,
as well.
Whether he could have gone for the waiver. And if he did, this becomes maybe a little more significant. But one of the things I considered, it's trainer Christophe Clement for owner Christophe Clement. So it's a lot easier to convince the owner, hey, let's go where the horse belongs. If you know, you're the owner and the trainer. So I kind of factored that in, but I have all the same trepidation that you have with a move like this, certainly. But I thought this horse could come back with a little added maturity off a layoff like that. The debut was okay, but again, it was a long time ago against better. We'll see. Tis a Pity on top, looking to fly in the second spot, the Joe Sharp trainee, who comes off, again, a little bit of a layoff from the end of last year, where the horse had seemed to have gotten good, and I think is going to be a perfectly fine fit. And then Escape with Friends by FNX from George Weaver. Weaver's okay with first-time starters. Horse seems to be working well for debut. Should be a cozy fit in with this bunch. In the ninth and final at Aqueduct, not just for today.
At Belmont.
Spring, summer meet. Oh, at Belmont. At Belmont. Did I say Aqueduct? At Belmont. How could I? It's about closing day at Belmont. Not just for today, but for the spring, summer meet as well. And again, Jose Ortiz tied with his brother. So be interesting to see how the day goes for him, and if he lines up with the title, because I'm sure there's some competitiveness among all the jockeys, but when it's your brother, maybe a little extra competitiveness and extra fun, and you would like to come into Saratoga with that kind of momentum, certainly. So that'll be interesting to watch. And I will note, on the trainer side, not as competitive. Trainer side, after yesterday's racing, Chad Brown 32 wins, Christophe Clement 24. So the trainer battle pretty much settled already with Chad Brown on top. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll delve into a little Saratoga preview. So stay tuned. Racing Across America continues.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
It's a photo finish, it's too close to
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, live from Clare Court. It's our first show of the Saratoga 2021 season. T-minus five in counting, opening day on Thursday. It should be a lot of fun. We'll have another morning program, and we'll kind of kick things up on Wednesday. I'll be back in on Wednesday, and then we're going to go to our regular racing day schedule. Handicapper Support at 9, Racing Across America at 10, Sunday mornings 10 o'clock. It'll be Steve Bick and I with Luce on the lead, so looking forward to it. Brian mentioned, you know, driving in this morning, and it was already the first morning for me to get stuck behind a horse crossing the street.
Well, you know, it's funny. I didn't get stuck behind a horse, but I got stuck behind a Sally van that came the entire way around like I did. So it was like I could have gotten out and walked here quicker.
Wednesday morning.
Yeah. It was one of the doubles, too. So it was a double Sally van. It's quite a production, but... Yeah, I noticed for the first time ever, too, it said they had a big sign on Union Avenue, horse crossing. Like, people aren't familiar. Like, the racetrack's here, by the way. I
hadn't thought about that.
I kind of figured that.
You know?
Yeah. I never saw that before, but maybe there's been an influx of new people in Saratoga that weren't aware that there's a ginormous plant here with about 2,000 thoroughbreds every day.
What's that thing over there? Surprise, surprise.
I'm familiar with these horses. You know.
That's where I got stuck on Union Avenue, my first time this season, which is always a pleasure, but there was the one time Jim Bond has the barn right down, and we come in this back gate usually. And so the Bond horses are always coming over to train. And I came in one morning, and I was cutting it a little close.
Well, I was going to say, luckily for you, you always give yourself so much time in the morning, so you can afford to be get stuck behind some horses, right?
So the horses are coming across. I'm looking at my wife. I had to pull into the horseshoe and park my car over there and run across the street. I couldn't wait for the horses that morning.
This is Seth, 9:57 a.m. Marrow, whereas it's Anthony about 9:02 a.m. for a 10 o'clock show, Mormino. A little different dichotomy.
Are these horses ever good? And I pulled in and ran across the street and made it. I was right on time. Boom.
Beat me here.
But Saratoga kicking off on Thursday should be a lot of fun. I'll go over. We have some great promos and events coming up. We'll hit on those as well. But let's just talk in general a little bit about the meet. And I pulled up a replay of the Belmont Stakes. It's going to be essential quality getting it done down there. The word is they're aiming that one for the Jim Dandy, and that you assume Jim Dandy, then they move on to the Travers. I said it last year. It was so unfortunate that we couldn't have fans for the number of good performances we had. Tisdall on the Travers, Swiss Skydiver in the Alabama, and many, many more. Gamine as well. There were just some really, really nice performances here last year, and it was a shame people couldn't be here to watch them. But this year, that all changes, and I think in a lot of these divisions, we can expect more of those nice performances, and essential quality is certainly one we're going to look forward to in the Travers.
Well, absolutely, and not only that, but, you know, Hot Rod Charlie, he's going to the Haskell. That'll be run next Saturday, and, you know, those are now major players, and they've traveled all over with Hot Rod Charlie, so you would think if he fires his shot on the Jersey Shore next week, you would think he's going to be here. He ran absolutely huge. He ran the better race in the Belmont, but essential quality got it done. But boy, he ran so big that day. So it's kind of, and Doug O'Neill never shies from a fight. So, you know, maybe a little rivalry brewing. Essential quality, clearly the leader of the division, but there's a lot of heavy lifting left, though, you know?
That 3-year-old Philly division looks great. Coaching Club American Oaks and the Alabama. I read the Iowa Oaks winner, Army Wife, I read she's going to come up and try the 3-year-old races up here. Soothsay, who won the other night
in Indiana
with an incredible performance, very lightly raced. I haven't heard where she's going. Mr. Wireless, who won the Indiana Derby, I think they're going to aim, I thought I'd read the West Virginia Derby.
Yeah.
But Soothsay, being lightly raced, boy, that was a big performance. But yeah, can she step up against the big names?
California,
in the division?
Philly, Seth's alluding to for Richard Mandela. She's got a lot of talent. You know, if you're a big deal in that division, you've got the Alabama circled on your calendar. Now you're going to have to face Malathat, who's still undefeated, and I know she's in the CCA, right? Now, Chad, we don't know what he's going to do, if he's going to cut search results back. I think he's probably leaning that way. I know he told me in Louisville when I was had him as one of my Derby trainers, Irby and Oaks trainers, he wasn't comfortable with her going 10. But he wasn't 9, he didn't seem to think would be a problem, but she ran so big in the one turn acorn. So we'll see what he does with her. Probably cuts her back in the test. But yeah, it's a good division, and we're going to see a superstar Malathat up here, maybe hopefully twice.
Yeah, and again, it's just a big stake schedule. And you mentioned it, and it's worth mentioning. There has been a change up in the older division, a pretty significant change up in the older division.
Big deal. I'm looking at it now. Two on opening day with the Schuylerville for the 2-year-old fillies and the Quick Call for the 3-year-olds on the turf. But what Seth is talking about, closing weekend now, we bring up the Jockey Club Gold Cup and Flower Bowl. I mean, these are Breeders' Cup winning you're in prep races for the Classic and Philly and Mare turf. Typically, they were pillars at Belmont. We bring them up here. The Woodward goes back to Belmont, but I mean, the Jockey Club Gold Cup is as big as it gets, and the fact it's going to be here at Saratoga is huge. And I'm just looking at this now, and these are winning your ins for the Breeders' Cup. And Anthony has said this for more than a few years now. At some point, we're going to have final preps at Saratoga, and here we are. I mean, this is. you would think this is it. I mean, you would think if you win the Flower Bowl, if you win the Jockey Club Gold Cup, next stop, Del Mar, two months later.
I think it was a few weeks ago. Amazing. I think it was Bell's the one when she beat Wisconsin two, three weeks ago down at Churchill. The trainer said, yeah, one more race in the Breeders' Cup.
It's just the day and age we are living in that now we're prepping at Saratoga for the Breeders' Cup. It's unfathomable to me. But
speaking of Wisconsin, I'm hoping Greg Ridley's still coming up. He had the second place finish. I talked to him before he had the win in the prior race.
Yep.
And he said, yeah, I'm going to have this next race at Churchill, then I'm headed up to Saratoga to try to get the grade one in the Ballerina. So I hope Greg Foley's still playing, because the second place finish to Bell's the One, I thought was a good race to set her up to come to Saratoga.
Grade one winner, Bell's the One, so we would think we'll see both those gals in the Ballerina, and that's Travers Day, and that is a win in your end for Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. So here's, I'm just looking at Travers Day now. You got the Boston Spa Grade 2, and then we rip off seven Grade 1s. Forgo, the Jerkins, the Ballerina, the Personal Ensign, the Sword Dancer, the Travers, six of them. So August 28th is obviously the signature centerpiece of the meet, but here's the Whitney on the 7th Saturday with the test, as we've already mentioned. The Saratoga Derby, a grade one now. I don't believe that was a grade one last year. I think it was ungraded because it was the first year. Who's coming to the Whitney for Brad? Nick Skull is now coming to the Whitney, too, after that seminal performance.
Prairie Meadows.
Prairie Meadows, Cornhusker.
Which, as I did the stakes preview that week with Mike Callahan, I said, it looks like maybe they're just trying to get a little confidence builder and mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Back to two turns. Brad said, you know what? We figured this out now. He needs that second turn. He gets in that fluid stride. You know, he won the Pegasus, don't forget. It's not just because he didn't fire in the Met Mile now. So he's a huge threat in the Whitney. That's always exciting. That's one of those other days. You know, they've really stockpiled these Saturdays up here now.
Can you find the standards also coming to the Whitney?
Yeah. Brett Calhoun has said, I want a grade one for that horse, and he deserves it. He was second in the race last year to Improbable. Coaching Club on the 24th, like we talked about that. That's a big Saturday. Opening Saturday, the 17th, we'll see the Diana for the gals on the turf. The Sanford, too. You'll get some two-year-olds to look at as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it, certainly. Also do want to alert people, they announced the other day that there will be a couple of giveaways this season. I think we have some shots of those coming up on Sunday, August 15th. Saratoga cooler bag giveaway. So you come up a paid admission, you get a cooler bag, and then towards the end of the meet, I'm sure 3 hours later, you will find plenty of hoodies available on eBay. But September 5th, Sunday, September 5th, the Saratoga hoodie, which looks kind of intriguing and nice. So a couple of giveaways to look forward to this season. I have they sent out a list of some of the highlights of the meet, Naira did. There's a fashion contest on the opening Saturday. So if you are thinking you might be the best dressed woman or best dressed man, coming up on Saturday, you can take advantage of that. There'll be Berkshire Bank Family Sundays. There's a Thoroughbred Aftercare Day on Wednesday the 21st. Military Appreciation Day on July 22nd. Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund Awareness Day, the great cause, July 31st. New York Showcase Day comes up on August 27th. Travers Day the 28th. So plenty of great events here at the track. I will list some of the events we have coming up at Capital OTB, because there are going to be a lot of promotional events, some free money available for folks, certainly. You can check us out in the Times Union every racing day. One of our handicappers will be in there. We'll also have a charity bet play in there, which typically has been doing pretty well over the last few years. We'll rotate in the OTB handicappers there. Coming up on Wednesdays, I'm going to have a $500 OTB Live promotion on every other Wednesday, sponsored by our friends at Bonaventure Stables. So you can check out sign-ups available there. The Racebook will have a win-a-bet contest every Wednesday. There'll be a knockout. Also, there's an online win-a-bet, and there's a knockout at the Clubhouse Racebook. Players' Bankroll will be on every other Wednesday. As I say, I'll do a bankroll. There'll be a Players' Bankroll every other Wednesday. Thursday, there's going to be an online pick four promotion. Mike Callahan will be having that down at the clubhouse. Surprise wheel. Fridays, there'll be the bounty bet. Every Friday, the bounty bet down there available playing. I want to say it's your late. It is. It's going to be the late pick five on Fridays at Saratoga. You play with your Capital OTB bet account, and you have a shot at the bounty. There's a trifecta challenge at the racebook every Friday. Don't forget, every Saturday there's a $1,500 syndicate special, and that allows you to get into a big ticket for a small amount of money. The buy-in is going to be $50. The team will put together $1,000, 20 players, and then Capital OTB puts in another $500. So there'll be a $1,500 late pick five ticket on Saturdays that you can get into for that reasonable amount of money. It'll open up on Sundays. So this coming Saturday's opening weekend syndicate will open today. It's first come, first serve. Check out the website if you're interested in that. There'll be pick three plays every Saturday, play the board contest. Sundays is going to have a $100 show pool promotion that should be a lot of fun. Just check out the website. It's going to be a lot of fun throughout the meet with the promos and events at Capital OTB. Let me get some of your thoughts on trainers and jockeys. Again, we're coming up the Belmont meet where it looks like needing only one win, Jose Ortiz probably winds up the Belmont winner. But at worst, he's tied with his brother. Manny Franco had a good meet. Joe Rosario, I thought, had a very good meet. Luis Saez seems to be coming in good form. Eric Cancel, I think, is riding well. Lescano, notable. John Velasquez, this spring, as he shipped out of town, he was got a Derby weekend, Preakness weekend. He is still riding in very, very good form. So he'll be fun to watch. And on the trainer side, you know, Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher, always worth paying attention to up here at Saratoga. But Bill Mott, Christoph Clement's running well. Brad Cox is going to have more horses here than usual because of the situation in Churchill where they closed the backstretch due to construction.
I believe Brad's going to have 60 here. Because as he said, Churchill's closed now. They kicked everybody out with the construction of the turf course. When you were talking earlier, I just said to myself, I looked at Todd Pletcher because you were saying, Chad's got the title wrapped up. Here's Christoph. He's comfortably in second. And then there's Rob Attriss who's going to win races up here too. I said, what about this Pletcher guy? And I looked and I just kind of said to myself, boy, you know what? For Todd, he's got 102 starters at Belmont, 18 wins. It's kind of like, who cares, ho-hum. I just kind of wonder if he's going to be loaded for bear up here.
Well, you know, and he broke back out again last year. We were
exactly.
Everybody was kind of like, the last couple of years, but last year, and he's, you know, it's all about the 2-year-old.
And as you know, when your horse wins a race, now he's got to run against better horses theoretically next time, and so it can get a little tricky as you're cycling through conditions. And to see Todd, I use the term loosely, only 18 wins at Belmont. He's going to have a lot of horses that have been running in those races. Now they're going to be up here. I got a feeling he's going to be hell to pay up here.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like it was. People were like, "Oh, that Pletcher guy. I remember. Yeah, that's right. He's pretty good, right?" And he's going to go in the Hall of Fame up here too.
A great point. Hall of Fame this year is going to be back to normal. Allow folks in, and if you go, you're going to get to see two classes put in, because last year, of course, they postponed. So Mark Cassie gets in, Todd Pletcher gets in, a really good crop if you go over on that weekend and watch there. So
open to the public, too.
It's back to normal, essentially. Over the Facing Sales Pavilion up the street. So, again, as you said earlier, and I think you said it perfectly, I've said the same thing, a semblance of normalcy. We're pretty close.
Yeah, and I guess we should say it. You know, if you're watching and wondering, can I come to Saratoga and stuff, have at it. It's open to the public, right? No restrictions, right?
I mean, supposedly, if you're not vaccinated, still wear a mask. That's going to be the situation, but you can come, certainly.
But you can come. I mean, here we are. So don't, if you're thinking about it, if you're thinking about making a trip or whatnot, please do so. It's going to be a lot of fun this
summer. And I will reiterate, first of all, fire up your Capital OTB bet account. If you don't already have one, sign up. And if you're on the golf course, you can pull it up on your phone and play along during the afternoon, or sitting by the pool or out in the backyard or in the family room in the air conditioning. hot days, you can always go down to the clubhouse racebook or our various locations as well. But we always say, and it develops new fans, come on up here to the track. You'll enjoy an afternoon at the track. And we mentioned it earlier. They have the new verandas that are going to be at the top of the stretch, which I haven't seen yet. Opening day, I'm going to go up and take a look at that. But the first turn, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. There's picnic tables outside the rail on the first turn. If you've never kind of stood there and watched races, it's fun. We walk down that way if we come from our set here to the front side, and it's fun. It's a different perspective. It's fun. I think that picnic table tailgate area there, whoever came up with that idea, great idea. They've expanded the stretch area, those grandstand areas at the top of the stretch that were kind of underutilized a couple of years ago. They made that a little bit of an upgrade, and they've expanded that as well. So lots of opportunities. But again, going back to normalcy, picnic tables are back and ready to go. If you want to just bring your cooler in and sit at the picnic table in the backyard, that'll be available as well.
Yeah, I just want to hit on, well, you were talking about the Pick 5 promotion that OTB is doing. I think probably many people know that's my favorite bet. And the one that they're offering, that $1,500 syndicate ticket on the Saturday Pick 5, I mean, that is the biggest bet at the track. And that Saturday, you know, that pool threatens $1 million every Saturday, non-Travers days, you know. So that's the one to get in. As you mentioned, it opens up today. It's going to go quick with just 20 people at 50 a pop. That is a tremendous amount of bang for your buck. A $1,500 ticket on a 50-cent base bet is a hell of a ticket, and it gives you opportunity. And, you know, you're going to see pick fives up here pay $100,000 or, you know, big balloons. That's the one to get into, and I think that's a super cool I don't know if the promotion is the right word, but it's a super cool bet that we're offering here that you can get involved in. And you put a ticket like that together, and you know, you're like you're one of the select you know because that's a serious ticket.
It's a $50 buy-in. You're in on a $1,500 ticket. You can see the way they have the ticket constructed when you go to the website, because there's a certain horse number of horses in each leg. And you suggest the horses you like, and then a consensus is put together. It's a lot of fun. Derby Day, that syndicate team hit for, you know, knocked that out of the park. And there have been a couple other good ones. There were some good ones last year at Saratoga, too. So keep it in mind. And the first one opens up today. So go to capitalotv.com for more information. Well, Brian, we did it.
We did it. Wow.
Day number one.
10:59.
Perfect. And also perfect because I think the NYRA pregame show probably fires up shortly as well, because, as you said, it's 12:30. A 12:30 post time today. So, before we leave, just give people the lineup, because I'll be in on Wednesday with just another preseason kind of a show, another little shakeout. But then you and our man, Anthony Mormino, kick things off on Thursday with the Thursday Racing Across America. You'll also have Wednesdays. You'll be in solo on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing Handicappers and Racing Across America Friday and Saturday, Handicappers and Loose on the Lead with Steve Vick on Sunday. So there's your schedule for this year. So you kick things off on.
Yeah. And maybe word on the street is I might be in with you a couple Sundays on HR as well.
Handicapper support. Yeah, so you officially kick things off.
Yeah, Thursday. Anthony and I, that's our spot. I've talked to him quite a bit, and we're gonna co-host RRA as well. So can't wait. Looking forward to it. The races have been drawn. Get at it. No excuses anymore.
Pull up your PPs and get started. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Again, we'll be back in on Wednesday morning to really kick things off. Officially here at Saratoga, live from our Clare Court set. Appreciate you tuning in. Good luck this afternoon. We'll see you Wednesday.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.